So, who are the people in your acquaintance that you see being fully devoted to the Lord? And what would you say is characteristic of their lives? How can you tell that they are all in? What is it about them that you admire and respect? This morning, we again open the Bible, God's Word, to the Old Testament book of Joshua. So we continue this sermon series, and in this particular passage, we're going to find an 85-year-old man by the name of Caleb who is still very much on board with God's agenda. What I'd like to do to begin here is to read verses 6 to 15 from Joshua chapter 14, and then we want to take a closer look at what it really was that made Caleb tick. So here we are. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how that Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjah Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and then the land had rest from the war. Now, those of you that are regular attenders here and have been involved in this sermon series may wonder, what's up here this morning? Why have we jumped from chapter 10 to chapter 14? And the reason I did that is that basically those chapters from 10 to 14 are an account of Joshua continuing to conquer the land, to conquer the territories that were given to the children of Israel by the Lord. And it's a narrative of conquest and then of dividing the land among the various tribes as an inheritance. And this was all done according to the instructions of the Lord. According to verse 5, "As the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land." Now, having said that, let's take a closer look at Caleb here, making note of several things in particular. One being that Caleb had a different spirit about him than many of the guys did. Caleb consistently followed the Lord, and Caleb consequently experienced blessings from the Lord. So, first of all, Caleb had a different spirit than some of the guys. I don't know if you ever reminisce. I'm sure you do. At times you may think of, you know, 5 years ago, such and such was a case, or 10 years ago, we did this, or, oh my, it's been 20 years ago since that took place. And, you know, you go on and on. Something triggers your memory, and there you go, right? It's probably a common thing to the human experience. But in our text this morning, we have Caleb reflecting on something that took place 45 years earlier. He said, according to verse 7, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." Now, that would have been a really significant kind of life experience. But I'd like us to think not only of what Caleb did, but of who or what Caleb was. And that gets to what's underneath the surface. That gets to thinking about, looking at his character. What was he like in the inside? So, we go to Numbers chapter 14, and we find this spoken to. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 14, verses 19 to 24. And I'd like you to notice what was said here. "Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of these who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Do you notice that phrase? He has a different spirit in him. Caleb stood out from many of the guys around him. There was something distinctive about him. And it was not that he was more handsome, or that he was taller, or that he was more muscular, or that he was somehow more intelligent, or that he was more handsome, or any of these things, more athletic. It's that he had godly character. He had a different spirit about him. In the book Integrity by Ted Engstrom and Robert Larson, there's an account that's told. It's a modern day kind of example of someone or a people that had integrity. So the newspaper column was from Conyers, Georgia, and the blurb was this. "For Coach Cleveland Stroud and the Bulldogs of Rockdale County High School, it was their championship season. 25 wins and 5 losses on the way to the Georgia Boys Basketball Tournament. And then a dramatic come-from-behind victory in the state finals. But now, the glass trophy case outside the high school gymnasium is bare. Earlier this month, the Georgia High School Association deprived Rockdale County of the championship after school officials said that a player who was scholastically ineligible had played 45 seconds in the first round of the school's 5 postseason games. And they went on to explain, we didn't know he was ineligible at the time. We didn't know it until a few weeks ago. That was Mr. Stroud. Some people have said that we should just have kept quiet about it, that it was just 45 seconds, and it wasn't an impact player. But, he said, you've got to do what's honest and right and what the rules say. And I told my team that people forget the scores of basketball games. They don't ever forget what you're made of. So, this town, about 8,000 people, 25 miles east of Atlanta, rallied behind the school and the coach, just as they did when the team was winning and Conyers was on a roll. Even though they knew it cost the school the title, many people here say they support the decision to admit the violation rather than to try to cover it up. We have scandals in Washington and cheating on Wall Street, wrote Vicky and Bill Ball in a letter to the Rockdale Citizen. Thank goodness we live in Rockdale County, where honor and integrity are alive and being practiced. Wow. What about you and I? Is honor and integrity alive and being practiced? And can people tell, as they observe our lives, that we have a different spirit? A different spirit than many folks around us do. You know, the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver or gold. That's Proverbs 22, verse 1. What will we be remembered for? That we were a workaholic and we accomplished this and did that and got all of this stuff? Or will we be remembered as a person with godly character and a person that had a sweet spirit about them? Well, let's move on to the second thing we want to note, this being that Caleb consistently followed the Lord. He consistently followed the Lord. Now, I did think of some of the countries that I've been in, some Latin American countries where the electricity was very sporadic. It wasn't the kind of thing you could depend on. Sometimes it was on, sometimes it was off. And so you had to do whatever, whenever, you know, the electric was on and so on. No consistency at all. Sadly, some people are like that in their relationship with the Lord. They're on for a while, and then they're off, or they're up and down. And they have an interest for a while, and then the enthusiasm is gone. But you know what? Caleb was not like that. He was all in for the long haul. He was committed to the Lord when he was 40. He was committed to the Lord when he was 85. Notice again verses 7 to 11. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, there's some things here that are really significant. For one thing, Caleb said, the Lord has kept me alive. Did you notice that? The Lord has kept me alive. Now, he may have been more mindful of his mortality given the fact that he was no longer a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old. He was 85. I think as we age, we are more mindful of that. But he may have on the other hand, been especially mindful of the faithfulness and the provision of God, given some of the dangers that he encountered along the way with some of these campaigns. Wouldn't you think so? That added to the entire mix? But here's where it's at. Regardless of our age, it doesn't matter whether we are a young person, we are a teenager, we are an 85-year-old, we should be mindful that we've come thus far by the grace of God. As the hymn writer puts it, through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me safely home. Out of amazing grace, of course. Now, the other thing that's really significant is that Caleb was not calling it quits. He was not planning to be a beach bum for the rest of his life. I mean, it's one thing to vacation and to enjoy things and so on, but that wasn't what he was thinking of or thinking about. He was not planning to quit doing things for the Lord. Now, guess who popped into my mind as I was reflecting on this scripture we're looking at this morning? This past week, my mind was drawn to Jimmy Carter. It's been years since he was president of the United States, and he is now, I had to look it up, I wasn't sure, he's now 94 years old. But did you realize that he still helps to teach Sunday school at Maranatha Baptist Church there in his hometown of Plains, Georgia? And I got curious, so I checked it out. They publish his schedule because people like to pop in to his classes. And it looks like he's teaching twice a month, September 8 and 29, if you're down yonder, October 13 and 27, November 3 and 17. And that's, I think, as far as the schedule was posted right now. So, what are we saying? Well, a person may retire from their job at some point, but that doesn't mean that a person retires from serving the Lord. That doesn't mean that they quit using their gifts in some fashion. That doesn't mean that they quit following Jesus and no longer seek to make a difference in the world or the community that they're living in. Caleb asked the Lord for the mountain when he was 85. Why? So he could have a nice spot to go hunting and fishing. And nothing wrong. I'm not putting down hunting and fishing, folks. That would be a unfortunate thing for me to do in this group. I might be hunting for another job. Nor was he looking for some scenic spot to go to in the summertime when it's hot other places or whatever. But his desire was to continue conquests for the Lord. In other words, he wanted to continue to be about the Lord's business. The Lord's work. Verse 12, it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, while it's true that aging brings with it certain things, and I can attest to that as well, you know, we start feeling things we didn't feel before. Or there may be diminished energy from when we're a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old or whatever. There may be some physical limitations. But the point is that these things, limitations need not limit because we continue to love the Lord in spite of all of that. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. Wasn't so long ago that you preached on that, wasn't it, Adam? Anyway, we may need a sabbatical at times. Understood. I found them refreshing and helpful. We may need to shift gears as time goes on. Understood. But overall, we ought to be like Caleb was, consistently following the Lord. Let's move on now to a third thing we want to make note of, and that is that Caleb experienced blessings from the Lord. He experienced blessings from the Lord. Notice again the verses 13 and 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, if you flip back to chapter 21, verse 12, but the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. Now, some of you may be thinking in regards to all of this that, you know, you don't have much to show for your labor or for your labor of love in the church and in your service unto the Lord. Perhaps you may be older, whatever that means, and think that, well, you have virtually no inheritance, or there may be very little in the bank or whatever. Perhaps there's very little property in contrast to Caleb. But we need to remember that the blessings of God are not just material either. The Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I wonder if has that really sunk in? Blessed us as his people with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. A person that has been adopted into the family of God is incredibly blessed. Sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father are recipients of blessings from on high that are not fully understood until a person is a part of the family, is in a genuine relationship with Jesus. But there's more to come for the Christian believer. The Bible speaks of this inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. An earthly inheritance may be here today, gone tomorrow, but things that are reserved for the believer in heaven we can count on. So Caleb experienced blessings because of his faithfulness to the Lord, and you and I can experience wonderful blessings in the present age and then an inheritance in the age to come. We experience these blessings if we are indeed alive in Christ, if we indeed have made a decision to follow Jesus and are doing so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can be gathered here to worship you and can again reflect on what is truly important in life. We thank you, Lord, for not only those that we read about in the scripture, but for those that have gone on before us who have left a godly legacy. Help us, Lord, to stay the course, to persevere, to be your disciples, delighting in you in this world of ours. Bless us, O God. Help us to understand our blessings in Christ and to live in light of them. Lord, bless Jimmy Carter as he continues to be a witness for you in his Sunday school class, and others who are continuing to carry on as you give strength and as you give opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.